I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, it's my segment about jobs you don't always think about. This is our third job topic. The first one focused on becoming a professional baseball umpire. Last week, it was becoming a pyrotechnician. But today, my guest is Sharon Feingold, who is a voiceover artist. She uses her voice to make a living. Her voice has been used and heard in commercials, and she's the voice at the Atlanta airport on the train system. Her story about becoming a voiceover artist is coming up next on Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez, right after the NPR newscast. Stay with us. Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. On today's show, it's part three of my series, Jobs You Don't Always Think About. My guest is Sharon Feingold, who is a voiceover actress or artist.
Did you know that you wanted to be a voiceover actress? That's what you always wanted to do? Or how did you choose this job?
No, I didn't even know the word voiceover until a friend mentioned it to me when I was in my early 20s. I was always sort of the theater kid, like musical kid. I played violin and piano and was the kid who wrote my own shows and starred in them in high school. So I knew I had a theatrical acting flair. I loved acting camp and stuff like that. I went on a pretty, you know, typical route through college and grad school. I majored in psychology, and then I got an MBA in marketing, like, right away. In my family, we kind of have a joke, like, everyone just gets an MBA. my dad and my two siblings all have MBAs. So I was sort of like, you know, kind of followed in that path. But really, I just sort of had that bug, sort of like, oh, I just want to be doing something theatrical or creative or something in the acting vein or musical vein. And while I was in my MBA program, I took a class at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. There was a guy named Paul Armbruster, was a wonderful, talented guy. Took his class, loved it. And the more I kind of thought about the corporate world, the more I was like, wonder if voiceovers is like a thing I could actually do. And at the time, like, you know, now everybody knows voiceovers. It's so everywhere. But back then it was sort of like, oh, there's people that do that? Like, what's that called? And so that was kind of, that's sort of a long meandering story about how I ended up taking a voiceover class and thinking my life was going to go one way and then kind of went another.
So let me just touch on that. Not everybody knows what a voiceover is. Many people in your circle do, but I'm certain many of our listeners don't. So how does one plan a career? How do you get into voiceover?
Well, I think it's changed a lot. Like back in the day, when I got into it, I feel like very few people knew it. But back then, it was more of sort of a hidden world and a much smaller world. And the ease of entry, it wasn't as easy. It was always a hustle, finding out who you were within the marketplace, finding an agent. And, you know, your agent would hopefully get you auditions and then hopefully get you some work. But what it's become, far more like what I think of as like the way that a graphic designer would start their business. Like they learn how to do it, and then they themselves will develop their own body of work and clients. It will be more of a full-time sales and marketing effort shifted and shaped into a different kind of hustle. Now it's like I'm doing my own marketing, I'm doing my own branding, I'm developing my own clients.
Okay. So give me an idea of, I mean, you still have to audition and such, right?
Sure. And definitely that's still a part of things. And that hasn't changed at all. Auditioning is a big part of doing voiceover work. It used to be that you might have one or two or even maybe three agents in a sort of regional or local marketplace. Now people have agents all over the country, all over the world, because everything is done through a home studio, which
wow.
I think that ease of entry was made possible by having home studios. So now, you know, what a typical day looks like for me is I might hear from any one of 10 agents looking in my inbox. I might see auditions from all those different agencies, from different clients, different projects, and I'll record auditions in my home studio, which is in a closet, sort of decked out closet with insulation and all kinds of, you know, some people have like built studios and standalone studios, and I typically have found that like a closet that I can sit in works really well. So I'll sit in my closet and record auditions, and usually you send them off as an MP3 back to your agent. And the agent will send them to the client for review. Or
wow.
You could do the same thing. You might have clients directly emailing you and asking you to audition for something.
So you get a script, you read it. Do you decide, do you always use Sharon Feingold's voice? Or do you, I mean, it's all your voice, but do you change your voice up for different things? Or do you always have the same tone? And how do you prep for what you're going to say and deliver.
So, yeah, it really depends on the project. I consider myself more of like, you know, a generalist. Like I like to move across different types of voices, different kinds of brands, different kinds of projects, whether it's a phone system voice or the voice of a train, all the way to promos and trailers.
Rays versus Tigers.
Spectacular play.
It's Major League Baseball, Saturday at 4 Eastern, only on FS1.
Some people sort of have their one thing that they do really, really well, and they might want to stick to that. And the thing about the voiceover industry is that now you can kind of do that. You had asked about, you know, whether voiceovers is acting or not. And I think the acting part is the shape-shifting, becoming a different character or having a different point of view and sure. having a different voice come through based on that point of view.
Describe a day in your world. Like, tell me how that process goes and how your voice will work.
Oh no. The performance time. So, a typical day is never typical.
Okay.
And it always looks a little bit different. I mean, like any business, you have slow days and then you have days when you're slammed. I would say that, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I roll out of bed and take my long commute over to my closet, you know, the first thing that I'll do, I'll know in my mind what came in the day before. So a lot of things are sort of next day. So I'll know that, like, I have these auditions that are due. These clients have sent me scripts and they're due at this time. I'll sort of create my day based on what came in the day before. And then, of course, there's the stuff that happens last minute that comes today. So there were jobs that I had today that came in this morning, and there were other ones that I knew I needed to do based on yesterday.
Wow.
So that's kind of how it shakes out. And it's a combination of auditions and jobs, and sometimes they're general auditions where you're one of 100 people. Sometimes they're very specific auditions where the client just wants to hear your voice for something. And today I've done a combination of all of those.
And they'll kind of set you up that they want this type of tone or this type of delivery, or they're looking for this, or excitement, or low key. That'll all come in the information that you get?
Yeah, you usually get, you know, what are called specs. And there's different approaches to specs. Sometimes you kind of get an idea of what they're looking for. Ultimately, you know, depending on how real they want the voice, sometimes they give you specs, but really you end up sounding a little bit different because they're trusting you to do your best of what you do with that sound. It relates to the specs, but it's not that specific. And sometimes they'll be like, we really want these specs. It kind of all depends.
Okay.
And
so,
a lot of times you don't get specs. It's ongoing work. They know your voice. They know what you do with this. You don't really get those. Specs are generally used for auditions and then less generally used for the actual job. Because in the actual job, you usually have a director who's basically telling you what they're looking for.
My guest is Sharon Feingold. She's a voiceover actress. And we're talking about jobs you don't always think about. Give me an example of what a spec might say and so that you know what you're going to do.
Sure. It may say something like female, 20 to 40. And then sometimes people will get very specific, you know, could be a soccer mom or knows what she wants.
This is my sister. This is me. We're twins. We do everything together. Have since birth. Birthdays, dances, you name it. And now we both need cars. So we looked at OpenRoadOmaha.com. We searched hundreds of used and certified vehicles, but found one we liked. But plot twist, she wants to see the car in person. I want to do everything online. Luckily, OpenRoadOmaha.com lets you do both. While she went to the lot, I had mine delivered. Both fast, both easy. Hooray. Now we both have cars and we're so happy. OpenRoadOmaha.com, your easy route to buying used.
You know, people can, all writers have different styles, and sometimes it's more broad and sometimes it's more specific. You know, the trend has gone from less of we want an announcer sound to we want somebody very conversational. So the trend now is sound like you're talking to your friend.
Okay.
And if you listen to commercials, you'll hear there's still obviously a mix and you get that big booming announcer sound. But a lot of times you just get someone and you're like, I feel like they're just talking straight to me like we were sitting in a room together. So you do get a lot of specs that say conversational. It's sort of like been a buzzword for a while. And
it sounds like code for low-keyed, not over-exaggerated, or is that?
Yeah, lower-key. I mean, conversational is one of those words. It's sort of a catch-all word. So the director might mean one thing and hear another. The voiceover person might hear one thing and deliver another. But it generally kind of, it's the anti-announcer sound that's
Got
trendy
it.
Right now.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, share some examples of the gigs that where we might have heard your voice and people just assume there's just a voice there. Do you have some that you can share that you did the voice for and maybe we've heard
sure.
it on something?
Yeah, my most bizarrely interesting gig is I'm the disembodied voice of the trains at the Atlanta Airport. So that's always kind of an interesting one to me because it's, you know, it's like I'm a train voice. And especially having grown up in Atlanta, listening to other disembodied voices on the train. So that's one that, you know,
wait,
a lot of people get a kick out of.
What's a train voice?
So I'm the voice of, they call it the plane train, and it is the train in the airport that takes you from terminal to terminal, telling you that you're at baggage claim or telling you you're at terminal A. So that's one voice,
okay,
the plane train. And then they have another train at the airport that takes you to the rental car center. And so I announce those stuff also. And I think being a Southerner, I take it for granted that everybody knows the trains at the Atlanta airport. But that's a very good question. Like, what are they? So for those people who do not live down this way, it's the voice of the train.
Got it. What other gigs have you had that might be recognized?
So I'm also probably most recognized for my work with HGTV, which has been an absolutely wonderful part of my career. So I do a lot of the promos for the network, announcing Property Brothers coming up or Fixer Upper or Dream Home. That's definitely one where, because HGTV, they've done such an incredible job building that network into what it is, it's pretty ubiquitous. Like, I go to, like, a nail salon and HGTV is on, or somebody will call me and they'll tell me they're, you know, at the doctor's office and HGTV is on. So because of HGTV's sort of pop culture status, iconic status at this point, a lot of people recognize the promo voice, and then they're like, oh, is that you? And yes, a lot of times it is. And that's been incredibly rewarding, and very fortunate to have that, letting me lend my voice to their brand.
Hello.
Property Brothers is even more fun with Viggle.
This is so cool.
Download the free Viggle app now at Viggle.com.
Ta-da!
Play along with the live trivia game, engage with other fans, and earn reward points just for watching.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Then use your points for cool merchandise or gift cards.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, I couldn't be happier.
You're welcome.
Download now at Viggle.com. Then watch Property Brothers, all new, Wednesday night at 9, 8 Central on HGTV.
After the break, I'll continue my conversation with Sharon Feingold as part of our segment, Jobs You Don't Always Think About. Today's job is working as a voiceover artist. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. If you're just joining us, my guest is Sharon Feingold, who uses her voice to make her living. So your day is literally, you don't have a commute, but sometimes you have to go there to do your work, or can you always do it in your closet?
So it depends, man. I hope my agents aren't mad at me for outing this whole closet situation. There was a time where, you know, it was sort of like, don't tell people you're in your closet. But at this point, I figure people are. I'm going to be transparent about it. Yeah, so it depends on the gig. Some clients, different ways to do a voiceover session. Sometimes they want to direct you, and sometimes they're comfortable directing you over the phone.
Oh.
And so you may be on the phone and recording on your end and then sending them the audio yourself. There are other clients who really want to be the ones doing the engineering. And in that case, voiceover talent will use services like ISDN lines, which used to be the most popular way to connect from studio to studio.
Right.
You know that as a broadcaster. But as ISDN is sort of being phased out, a lot of us are using something called Source Connect. There's different ways to connect live to a studio in another city or even anywhere in the world. Some of those sessions, you know, I'll connect live and sort of be hands-free. I'll speak in the microphone, but they'll do all the engineering. And then there are sessions where the client really wants you in the studio. And then there are sessions where you're like, okay, I really don't need to be doing a live session from my studio today because there's a tornado outside and there's going to be like branches falling on my roof. I better go into a well-built studio. So it depends on the client. It depends on, you know, the circumstances that may affect your studio. If there's construction outside, you may be in a different studio for a while. But generally, most of my sessions are either me holding the phone and recording with the client on the line, or the client just trusting me and me doing it from my home studio and then just emailing them or uploading an audio file to Dropbox.
So in the time that you've been in this, the industry has definitely changed with technology, and as things get more sophisticated, your world has probably changed a little bit.
Absolutely. Totally. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm going to space every day, like sitting in a little capsule, and, like, things are being beamed all around, and then this thing I recorded is sitting in someone else's uterus. It's absolutely incredible. When I started people building home studios, and it was, the migration was already starting to sort of the digital life. My first voiceover demo was on a tape.
Right.
That's dating me. Technology, yeah, it's changing so much. And then, of course, with that comes the responsibility of learning to be better at editing on your own and having the software you need back up your voiceover career. And it can be complicating and it can be simplifying all at once.
So if somebody's listening and they say, that's a really cool job, I would love working in my closet, but how would they learn the skill? I mean, you need to be a good reader. You need to be able to process what the client wants. Have that actress ability, that theatrical background, I think. I don't know. Tell me.
I think it's a combination of different disciplines. I think acting is the largest part of it. I think vocal range. I don't want to say sales, because voiceovers is not all sales, but having a sales mindset and understanding that at the end of the day, advertising is appealing to emotionally to a customer's needs and wants. On some basic level, that appeal is the point of view you need to come from. So it's not about being a sales personality, because that would lead to sort of that announcer sound of olden days kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But certainly, you know, when you want your friend to go to the park with you, that's a sale. Or when you are really excited about a granola bar and you're telling somebody about it and you want them to get that same enjoyment, that's
sure.
a sale.
Yeah.
So I think having a little bit of a sales mindset doesn't hurt. But it's a combination of disciplines. I mean, obviously, any kind of vocal background, my singing background definitely helped me. You need to have the right breath support and breath control. Can be taxing on the voice, so you want to have a healthy voice. There's a lot of different little facets that go into it, but I really think primarily acting, probably the main one, because if you're doing a spot about kidney donation, that's a very different tone than if you're doing a theme park.
Sure.
And that's a very different tone than if you're telling people how to get to the terminal in the airport. So that range comes with a relatability that you kind of find within yourself through having an acting background.
Yep. So I don't want to get too personal on this one, and I don't want to invade your space too much, but I'm going to ask anyway, how does this kind of work pay? What's that range like?
It's all over the place. So what's happened in the last, I think, maybe 20 years, the non-union world has sprouted and become very big. It used to be a heavily unionized industry.
Sure.
And I think that part of it is the accessibility to be able to do it has allowed people to do it from anywhere. And it's not necessarily concentrated in New York and LA and through the movie studios and through the major television companies only. I think that's been a major change. And so the rates have shifted towards sort of free market economy.
Mm-hmm.
There's been movement within the non-union world to sort of match the union world. So what happens is that rates, you're not unionized, then rates begin to be all over the map. And so there's never really a clear answer for how well does it pay. It pays as well as the market dictates that it should pay and the talent that do it. That being said, you know, voiceovers is known to be quote unquote lucrative because, you know, it could be that the amount of time it takes you to record something, it may only take you 10 minutes. But the idea of the usage that comes with it, it's like you're going to be using my voice to sell this product for a year.
Right.
So you're going to build in a rate that's commensurate with that. You also spend your whole life more trying to get the work than you're actually necessarily doing the work. Not, it's sort of like, you know, when you go to the doctor and you say, how can they charge me so much, you know, for this, you know, 15
sure.
minutes they spent with me. Well, they spent a lot of time working towards their goal of being able to see you for 15 minutes and be good at what they do. So it's lucrative in the sense that it can pay very well for the amount of time you're doing it. But when you kind of put it all together for how many hours you're putting into building your career for years, and how much around-the-clock work it takes to maintain the career, lucrative becomes a little bit more of a question.
Sure.
It's a whole lifestyle choice. We do laugh in my family that I tease my siblings. I say, well, I make more per minute than both of you. It doesn't necessarily mean I make more than them. So it kind of works. But rates are across the board. There are different industries within it. It used to be one industry. Now it's many different industries. The audiobooks are their own thing. And video games are their own thing, and so it's really hard to generalize rate or, you know, how well of a living anybody is going to make. People can make $5,000 a year. People can make millions a year, and it's everywhere in between.
Okay. I'm speaking with Sharon Feingold. She does voiceovers, and we're learning about that type of job. As I ask this last couple of questions, are there any jobs out there that you would really like to land? It's something that, you know, like an actress really would love to have that role with Meryl Streep or whatever. Is there something in your world that you would really like to land because you know it'll either be great for your voice, your career, or your pocketbook?
Yes. I had a taste of animation when I was a current character on a series called Mew Mew Power, which was on Fox Kids on Saturday morning.
Huh.
And I love voicing this character. I don't live in L.A., so my opportunities for animation, it's really kind of hard to pursue something when you're not in the city where it all takes place. So I haven't really pursued a career in animation, but I would love to voice a Pixar character or a Disney movie. I mean, those are the kinds of things that I think most of us dream of doing. So that would be, and that would be fun for the sake of the thrill of the acting. I have to admit, it was really cool to see my voice in somebody else's, like,
body
form. It was, yeah. I mean, it was just really crazy. It was really cool. And it's such a quirky thing to be like, my voice is coming out of that character who has blonde hair, is a 15-year-old in high school. So an animated film, you know, or series would be quite a thrill.
So if you had to make the choice again, you know, back when you were graduating from college and deciding what you were going to do, did you decide this was what you were going to do? Or did you just want to try it and then it worked out? Would you change anything? Where are you on that?
I started out thinking, what if I could just get one job? Like, how cool would that be to be paid to do this? And then once I got my first job, so then my goal was like, well, if I got one, why couldn't I get two? And if I have two, then why couldn't I get 10? And if I get 10, why couldn't I do this part-time? So I started out with the goal of doing it, I think, part-time or enough to make somewhat of a living.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how fast it came into focus that if I could do it part-time, I could do it full-time. And I took a couple of jobs that allowed me to do this sort of part-time.
Uh-huh.
But the plan really sort of evolved into, it sort of was a natural flow. Like, if I'm doing more of this, then, okay, now I'm doing more of it. And then if I could just make, you know, this much per week, that would be amazing. So at some point, you know, when I realized I kind of had enough that I was safe, it became a full-time career. No, I don't think I would do anything differently. I feel so lucky. I earned this through hard work, and I am continuing to be grateful and humble for it. I don't think any day do I ever feel like I'll ever be able to stop working hard.
Would you ever teach it?
I did teach, actually. When I moved from New York to Asheville, my friend opened up an acting conservatory. He asked me if I would teach, and I was like, no way. And then I was like, why did you just say no? Why don't you just try it? So I did. I also really wanted to take the teachers were allowed to take each other's classes, and so I was able to get the improv classes. I took his classes, and he took my voiceover classes, so I got a good barter out of it.
Cool.
And I found improv to be so much fun and really a huge part of how I've evolved as an actress as well. You know, I do seminars and workshops. I think that suits me better.
Very good. Sharon Feingold is a voiceover, I'm going with actress. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you and learning more about jobs you don't always think about, which is a voiceover.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate you asking me all these great questions and taking the time to have me on.
That's our show. If you'd like to hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kpcrnews.org/lifestyles. If you have a suggestion for a segment or a topic, leave me a message. You can also share your top 5 favorite movies with me. I'm always curious to see what people like about their movies. Thanks to all who helped make the show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wad, Sean Houlihan, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Thanks for listening. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.